You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Rogue, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul, with me in the studio and in my brain and in my headache. We have Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am great. Well, that was an amazing intro. Thank you so much.
It only took 42 minutes. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. This is Cinematic Adventures. Are you sure you're in the right place?
No.
Okay, then.
We're going to show about
movies.
I don't know movies.
I don't know movies.
And not comic book movies, just movies.
Oh, this is going to be a little weird, huh?
Oh, yeah. Awkward. Okay. All right.
My best. Well, here we are. And in honor of the brand new Peacock show, I was a little scared to say Peacock with Ronnie in the room.
Hey,
no reason. Don't worry about it.
We'll talk about Dick later.
Yeah, we are. Next episode of Multiverse Fancast. Dick Tracy, context, please. All right. So, yes, we are going. Nobody said thank you. We are going to be talking about today the classics, the surprise comedy hits. I'm trying to think of a good speaking, like the cult favorite. I don't know. No, they were successful. They were very
cult. Successful comedies.
And that is Ted and Ted 2. Definitely not A Million Ways to Die in the West.
We will talk about that at some point.
I know. And we'll do a whole episode for you. All right.
I do love that movie.
I know you love that movie.
All right. Back to our TED Talk.
We're waiting. Ronnie was patiently waiting to drop his TED Talk line. So, before we get started, obviously, we have two movies to talk about. We're not going to be talking about the new series, though. We want to finish that in its entirety, or at least build up the courage to pay for Peacock, because...
I have it.
You have Peacock?
Yeah.
What?
I have Peacock.
Like the actual version?
I believe so.
So, here's my Peacock story really quick while we're here.
You have a Peacock story?
I have a Peacock story. So, I
want... Like feathers and all?
No, like the actual television. Stop it. I hate you so much. You're off the show. He's not on this show. Damn it. Anyway.
All right, bye, guys.
All right. So, yes, Peacock, the streaming service, it is included as part of my cable network, but it's the not full version.
No.
So...
Because you're not paying for it.
So...
That's what free means.
Yeah. So... Even though technically I pay for cable, so I don't get... Anyway. I wanted to watch the new Twisted Metal show, and it let me watch one episode.
And then I was like, give us your money.
It literally said... To watch the rest of the show, you have to pay. And I was like,
I feel like only $5 though a month.
It was like $3, but on principle, I was like negative ghost writer. So now I'll never watch Twisted Metal, which apparently is getting another season. But that's okay. So, Sean, why don't you give us some? How do we interrupt each other less on Zoom? It's even crazier.
Because it's all delayed.
You're delayed. That's not nice.
Hey, this is what my parents said about me.
Wow. All right. So my editing is a lot of fun today. Why don't you give us some quick facts about the first Ted movie?
Well, obviously, Ted came out, 12 years ago. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone out there who doesn't know, Ted is created by Seth MacFarlane, who obviously is the creator of Family Guy, The Orville, those were his two major things, American Dad, you know, all that. This was his first foray into feature films. And it's, you know, we kind of walked into this movie not really knowing what it was going to be.
I wanted to see Magic Mike.
Yeah, we know.
Like, at the same time?
Like the exact same time.
Really?
Because the running joke on the internet was all the men wanted to see the movie about a teddy bear and all the women wanted to see a movie about strippers.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Huh.
That makes sense.
You saw them both.
Wow.
But as far as I recall, in terms of trailers, they really didn't give away much because obviously you couldn't
get
anything away with the jokes that in trailer wise. We just knew it was a talking teddy bear that sounded like Peter Griffin.
Yeah. He doesn't sound that much like Peter Griffin. He says it in the movie. That's a lie. That's a lie in the movie.
Yeah.
So, but that's pretty much the backstory into that you know, how this movie came about. And boy, did it blew up the box office when it came out. It was
yeah, it did.
I don't call it a surprise hit, but it was definitely,
I think it was exceeded expectations.
Let's go with
I think it would be a surprise hit, because this is one of the movies that, if I remember correctly, the critics could not stand.
Yeah.
Oh, the solitaire.
You know, but the fans loved it, and obviously the fans have been paying to go see it.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I could tell you from my perspective, I was like, what's he going to do here that's different from Family Guy? And it's very Family Guy in terms of there are cutaway gags in this movie.
Yeah, a lot of 80s references.
You know, a lot of 80s references and stuff like that. And a lot of stuff he couldn't get away with on Family Guy. Yes. He goes all out in this movie and kind of just over the top, crude, you know, just really crazy stuff. But it is very easy to watch this and go, okay, it makes sense that the guy who created Family Guy did this.
Yes. So, Ronnie, what were your thoughts going into the first Ted movie?
My initial thoughts were like, all right, this seems like it's funny, seems good. You know, I like Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, big Family Guy fan. So I was like, I got to give it a shot because it's Seth MacFarlane. But that was my only interest in it. But then after watching it, I was like, amazing. One of like an all-time good movies, I think.
It's hard to pick apart this. Like, we were the perfect generation for this movie. Like, 2012, we were what? 25?
25. You could even say it's geared to people older than us. Because, I mean,
it's like that 20 to mid-30.
Right? I don't know, but let's also establish this. Like, we sat in that theater. I will never forget this. And we're 25, and I swear the rest of the theater was probably like 15, between 15 and
70. Marlon.
And when the airplane scene comes on, the disco scene with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis, I swear to God, I think the three of us and our friend Matt were the only ones that laughed.
Yeah.
Because we were the only ones who knew that joke.
Yeah.
Only ones. And then the Flash Gordon stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no one under the age of us probably understood any of the jokes in that, with the cultural references that were going on.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I love about Seth MacFarlane. He is so random with his pop culture references, going all the way back to just random musical scenes in Family Guy, you know, Music Man, you know, stuff like that. I love that stuff. That is the one thing I will never not love about Family Guy, old Family Guy.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to remember what season Family Guy kind of like went off the rail.
Probably when he stopped really focusing on it.
Yeah.
He just does the voices now. He doesn't has nothing to do with the writing.
You know? Oh, he's just there. He's just there for his paycheck. Mm-hmm. It's funny because a lot of his other projects have kind of fizzled. So
Orville finally got canceled.
Right? So the Orville got moved to Hulu off of Peeps, and they,
which I thought was actually a smart move.
Oh yeah, and it was a serious show. It was not a comedy.
With they and Fox.
Fox screwed that one.
What else is new?
Yeah, seriously. But they moved over to Hulu and they did another season there, and they like rebranded it like Orville New Destinations or something, New Horizons. And I remember watching it. I was like, it's actually really good. I love this show. And I haven't heard anything yet.
Nah.
So it doesn't look like it's coming back, unfortunately. But we'll see what happens.
The thing is, a lot of times when things go from cable to streaming, it goes there to die.
I would argue we've seen a couple of other shows that go, like Young Justice was a great example. It went to streaming to be revitalized.
Yeah.
Manifest,
which I was still very disappointed with the ending of Manifest.
I didn't watch it, but I remember that because it was just all of a sudden Netflix just became a huge view.
Yeah,
Netflix. Suits is getting a spinoff.
It did. Pearson already came out on Peacock.
Oh, really? It's already out?
It's already out.
Yeah. I should get Peacock.
No, but I think there's another one that they're coming up.
They want to revitalize
it. It's like an LA version. I don't think any of the original cast is coming back, but it's like the LA version.
Well, you know, see the money I want to say.
I listen. I get it. But
going back to Seth MacFarlane, because then he did the Cleveland show. And I remember at the time they were like, we're doing a Family Guy spinoff. Everybody was like, Quagmire.
Yeah.
And it was Cleveland. We're like, huh, it's really interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But here we are. And that's that. So he then moves on, and he's not really, he does A Million Ways to Die in the West. He does these movies. And like Sean said, he kind of steps out of the focus of Family Guy, and that's really when it did start to dip in quality. So it is what it is. We still watch Family Guy here in our house, like especially the older stuff, but what are you gonna do? Now, the surprise for me in these movies is good old Marky Mark.
Mark Wahlberg, I will give the man his props. First of all, he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
He's really established himself as a very, very good actor within the last 20 years, but the man actually can be funny. I mean, he really can. And
These movies and the other guys.
Love the other guys.
The other guys is really acting. Yeah. The other guys, I think because of him is what makes the other guys.
Well, the other guys succeeds because Will Ferrell isn't the, he's not necessarily, he's the straight man for the most part.
He's not the typical Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm trying to remember when Mark Wahlberg was cast in this movie. Like, did he do anything before this that we would have been like, that makes sense? I think, and I don't think so. I think we were all pretty much like, wow, okay, he's Mark Wahlberg's going to be sitting next to a CGI teddy bear for the whole movie. Yeah. We're like, how's this going to work? And he, you know, the man, I'll give him, he just doesn't give, he goes all out in this movie.
Yes.
Just with the stupidity, the naming of the white trash names. I will never not laugh at that
scene. Oh, there's a deleted scene from the second one where they do a similar thing. I forget what it is, but he does that again.
Yeah.
And he doesn't cut. There's no cuts in it. Like, it's
not. When it cares out of me, you're just like, how are you doing?
Yeah, we had enough trouble just getting the YouTube video.
That is very true.
Going back to yours, the other guys was 2 years before this.
Okay.
All right, so I can see
it. We thought it'd be funny.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a surprise that of all the actors, that he was the one that was going to do this movie.
Well, also, Seth MacFarlane, he's a lot like Adam Sandler in that if he chooses from his group of friends at this point. Like, he has a lot of people that make a lot of
Adam music. Sandler?
Adam Sandler.
I'm sorry, that's what he does. He just shoots.
I just said that. I hate you so much. You're not on the show. You're a guest. Act like it. But like, look at Ryan Reynolds. Has a non-speaking cameo in the first Ted movie and in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And it's funny both times.
That's right.
So for like in Mark Wahlberg, obviously they have probably a very good working relationship. Great chemistry.
So
let's talk about this first movie though. The story is very simple and, of course, narrated by another Seth MacFarlane fan or friends, Patrick Stewart.
No, Apache helicopter.
The Apache helicopter line is one of the funniest things in existence. Now, this movie starts off swinging too. Within the first 5 minutes, you know exactly what kind of movie this is going to be. Yeah. So the story is very simple. Mark Wahlberg's character, what's his character's name? Come on. Johnny.
Oh, I didn't know what you were talking about.
Mark Wahlberg, the main star of the movie. That guy.
Is he the main star?
He is.
Or is it Ted?
Taller star.
Or is it Mila Kunis?
No. Mila Kunis is so much so that they just wrote her out of the second movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so young Mark Wahlberg's character, John, wishes for his teddy bear to come to life. And there's nothing more powerful than a child's wish, except for an Apache helicopter. And Ted comes to life. And at first he enjoys like this big range of success, and he's like, I'm a talking teddy bear. I love the newsreels. Mm-hmm. And he gets like the super 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 right-wing conservative, look what Jesus did. And it's just really like, and that's the thing I like about Seth MacFarlane, original Seth MacFarlane. He has since gone to more of another side of the political spectrum, but in the beginning he was a lot like South Park, where he lampooned everyone and he made fun of everyone. I always thought that was more fun, because once you start seeing agendas, you're like, it's one thing like the character of Brian Griffin. The joke is his agenda. Like, that is the defining part of his character. Like, how, well, yeah, that's your agenda, but it's also a constantly changing agenda to follow whatever's popular at the time, because that's what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So the movie then progresses. You know, they're adults, they're stoners, like they're living with Mila Kunis's character, Lori.
Yeah.
All right. So let's break down Mila Kunis as Lori. Sean, thoughts, go. Are you ready?
Am I ready?
Are you ready?
Thoughts on Mila Kunis?
Are you ready for this jelly? No. Oh, it's not funny when I do it. It's not funny when I do it. All right. Go ahead.
I don't know how to.
Mila Kunis.
Thank you.
That's all it is. It's Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. She's there in this movie.
She is there.
I mean, she really doesn't.
She's the catalyst for change in this movie. Yeah. She encourages him and ultimately gives him an ultimatum, because men love that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of understand why she wasn't in the second one. There really wasn't much to her character in the one, in my opinion. Listen, I mean, I understand why she was in the movie. She's friends with Seth MacFarlane, are obviously, you know, they both voices on Family Guy. She has a few funny moments, don't get me wrong, but again, this movie is Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mark Wahlberg is this movie. Like, I feel like everyone else is kind of just there.
That's fair.
And that's not a knock on them. That's just the story.
We get a call from Seth MacFarlane's agent going, you knocking us? You knocking on us?
Yeah.
All right, then. So going down the cast list. So the cast list is very strange in that it's got a lot of people in it, but they don't have a lot of big roles in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's next on the cast list after?
Joel McHale as Rex, Laurie's manager and the nemesis.
He is the actual villain besides, what's his face? Giovanni Ribisi's
character. Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah. I mean, Joel McHale, I never watched Community. I don't know if either of you did.
I've seen bits and pieces.
I've never watched anything with him, so I really can't gauge how funny he is.
Didn't you watch Spider-Man 2? He's the bank teller that tells Aunt May that she can't have a free toaster when Doc Ock attacks it.
Okay.
So if you guys want to listen to Multiverse Fancast, I'll discuss that. But anyway. Okay.
Thank you for that, because that was the missing part of IMDb's Joel McHale summary.
I can't wait to edit this, but anyway.
Yeah, so after that, I don't really know what to say.
I like Joel McHale in this. Like, he's swarmy, he's creepy.
Like, you don't know if he's creepy, he's just...
He's hitting on all the females at his job. That's automatic creepy.
Mm.
Yeah, he's got a position of power that he's using to influence his employees.
Is that what he's doing?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched the movie in a while, so...
Just a little bit.
Wiggle it just a little bit?
Just a little bit.
No, that's a different song. All right. We're going to get copyrighted. Stop. But anyway. That's fair. So I do enjoy.
It's better when it's coming to you, though.
Thanks. I do enjoy Joel McHale's character. One of my favorite lines is when Johnny gets the call that Flash Gordon's at the party.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I need to disappear for 20 minutes. This is bro code. If you do this, I'm going to forget all about the stuff with Lori. And he's like, of course, I've got you. And he leaves, he goes, I'm going to have sex with your girlfriend. I don't know what it is, but it just makes me chuckle because it's so nefarious. And then he does take Lori on an actual date. And he tries to be like nice about it, like all that. So there's no redeeming quality in this character at all.
No. Don't he die of like Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, I hope you die of Lou Gehrig's disease. And in the credits, it's like, he actually dies of Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Yeah, it's a little sad. But anyway.
We got Giovanni Ribisi as Donnie, Ted's biggest fan and his stalker.
And the best dancer in this entire movie.
The best dancer. Yeah. And you see, obviously, him in the second one. And he's also in
Million Ways
to Die West. Mm-hmm. And he is very good at playing.
Oh, yeah.
Very good at playing awkward.
Well, when we do A Million Ways to Die in the West, we will
decide. I mean, I love him in A Million Ways to Die in the West. I think him and Sarah Silverman are freaking hilarious together. But in this movie, I mean, you kind of feel bad for him because you see him at the beginning of the movie. Like, he is a kid, obviously, the same age as Johnny. He sees on TV this talking teddy bear. He's like, I want a talking teddy bear. And, of course, his parents are absolutely despicable human beings. Right. And he grows into this despicable human being with a fascination for a talking teddy bear.
And with the creepy...
With the creepy son. The
creepy son.
Doesn't the son
become... Stand up straight when you're talking to me.
What does the son become?
Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing that dates your movie quite like adding Taylor Lautner.
The hot thing at the moment.
Oh, my God,
but I love the... Stand up straight when you're talking to me. What did you just say?
And then, of course, we get the famous Tiffany song with him. Every time he hears
that,
which
he does
dance.
He does do. And that's how they get him in the second movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So the movie progresses, and Ted moves out, and has to get a job because he's got no money,
mm-hmm.
and he meets the next character probably on the list, which is Tammy Lynn.
Tammy Lynn.
Who plays Tammy Lynn?
Jessica Barth.
That's it. Yes, Justin.
Well done, Ronnie. You were very prepared for the show.
Thank you.
I know, right? I have no clue about
maybe one other thing Jessica Barth's been in besides Ted 2, without looking it up.
Probably an adult film.
I wouldn't.
That's mean.
I mean, I can see it, but
without actually
without looking it up. You literally just said without looking it up.
Yeah, but I love that that's where you go with it.
I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know.
She hasn't been in anything else.
Yeah, there's the joke.
Yeah, see? How I Met Your Mother. She's a church girl.
Like
an episode.
I wonder if she still had the accent.
Family Guy, that's what it is. Three episodes.
There it is.
Voice Kate Hudson.
That's actually kind of funny. Anyway,
I have no idea.
Moving on. I will say one of my favorite scenes in this entire movie is when they're out to dinner and they storm off. And producer Melanie and I still quote the when he farts. And he's like, I wonder who's going to hit first. And the business guys are like, who did this to us? We are here on business. It always gets... Producer Melanie will actually die laughing at some point with that. But he then moves out. He moves into an apartment above a Chinese food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a big party to celebrate. You know, him and John aren't really supposed to be hanging out as much. Like, Lori's kind of like, hey, you need to like
separate from this
band. You need to be an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you're 33 years old. And I was like, oh, now I watch, I go, oh, as I sit here in my comic book room of podcasting. Anywho, so they're not seeing each other nearly as much. And Lori brings John to this big work party. Mm-hmm. And it's like a big thing. Like, my boss is going to be there, et cetera, et cetera. And Flash Gordon, their childhood hero,
Sam Jones,
shows up at the party because he was like a cousin, friend, something or other. And it is probably, again, we're sitting in the theater and we're the only guys really laughing at this. When he does the 80s montage of driving there, mm-hmm. with like the techno music in the background and the jump cuts to his face, yeah. and the taillights glowing.
And then you get into the apartment and you see him from the back and he goes, hey, Sam, this is my friend Johnny. And he turns around and then boom, the kiss, the Queen music.
Yeah.
Kicks in.
And John's hair is blowing.
Oh my God. It was, I mean, we were dying. We were laughing so hard.
And then they all do cocaine together.
They do.
Yeah.
They all do
some cocaine together. But, and it's a nice moment.
This one, again, very much like Family Guy, you know, there's a lot of cameos, a lot of famous people, like just random famous people in this movie. I mean, of course, you mentioned there's a Ryan Reynolds cameo at the end.
No, it's during the party.
Oh, it's during the party? It was at the end of the movie.
Guy shows up with him. And he's like, hey, this is the guy that beat me up.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're in love or whatever.
I don't know what it is about it. The one that I laugh at is his boss. And he has the picture of Tom Skerritt on this.
Then you kidnapped Sarah's daughter.
And he, at the end of the movie, Tom Skerritt is standing next to him and goes, I just want my daughter back.
My daughter better be alive. That's, yeah. Dark.
Wow.
But still so funny.
Oh my God. Alex Borstein plays his mother. Right. Obviously, Lisa Lois. Yeah, there's just a lot of, you know, typical cameos in this movie that make it funny. And you know, again, just the reference.
It's the references. So Lori shows up at the party because obviously he had to drive back into the city. That's way more than 20 minutes to begin with. And then they end up partying and blah, blah, blah. And then Lori gets there and she, you know, she's like, you break it up. And we get some very entertaining fights. There's the one scene in the movie that just doesn't work for me is when he tries to go serenade her at the concert.
Oh, with the James Bond song. It was like, nobody does it better. First of all, it's like one of the, not the greatest James Bond songs of all time, because I think it's Octopussy.
Yes.
Movie. It's from us. And I'm just like, they chose that one. Interesting. Okay. All right. Singing and it's not that good.
Yeah.
Well, like, because they watched that movie on their first date.
Where are we going with this?
Oh, they watched that movie on their first date. I totally forgot about that.
Yep.
Nah.
But you thought it was like, oh, this, she's going to come back for them. And she doesn't. And I think that was
most realistic part of the entire movie.
Yeah, right? Pretty much.
Wait, the talking teddy bear wasn't?
No. Because the talking teddy bear also then gets kidnapped by Donnie.
And then ripped in half.
Yeah, and then ripped in half. And
he's doing me back together.
Easy. You know, they have like their happy ever after. Lori and John get married, and then the second movie comes.
Doesn't end well, does it?
So let's fast forward.
Does it?
Well, let's do a Star City Ready for the first Ted movie. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Wow!
I could put this movie on almost any time and just watch it and enjoy it and still laugh. Like even when he like throws the bottle at, all right, Kareem. Oh, you suck her in. Like, just like the little thing. It's well written. It's fun. And I just really dig it.
There are some very memorable parts in this movie that, you know, still, you know, if the movie's on, I'll look for him. Like Thunder Buddies for Life. I mean, that caught on. Everybody was singing that song, you know, after this movie came out. I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4, solid.
Solid movie. Absolutely. Very, very funny. Just one of those films that, yeah, like you said, if it's on, I can sit down and watch it, or I can just kind of pick and choose my scenes. But it was a solid directorial debut for Seth MacFarlane. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, quality that, you know, okay, this guy, maybe this will be the new move in his career. Sad that he really hasn't directed a movie since Million Ways to Die in the West. So kind of bummed by that. But yeah, no, I give 4.
Ronnie?
I'm going to agree with the 4. Again, like you guys kind of said, it's just one of those movies I could watch from start to finish again anytime. It still holds. I mean, it's only been 12 years, but like it still holds up, you know, to a lot of stuff from back then. You can really maybe not say and do those things now, but
I still think that if they made this movie today, I think they would have kept everything.
So. Oh, yeah. You know, I think, you know, again, even though you have all these big people in the movie, again, like we said, it's really just Mark Wahlberg and Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's just his voice, not him.
They're the main focus.
But they're the main focus, and everyone else is just in it just to get a couple bucks. I mean, more than a couple, but
12?
Probably more than 12.
Inflation, 14.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, all right. So that's going to take us on to the sequel, because obviously this movie made a ton of money at the box office, and a sequel was inevitable, right?
It profited like 500 mil.
Something crazy like that. But I think Million Ways to Die in the West was in between, correct? You going to think about that?
No, I think you're correct. Yes.
So,
I believe so.
Ted 2 rolls around, and we love A Million Ways to Die in the West.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
The critics and the general audience did it.
The movie bombed.
Yeah, it bombed. Yeah. It didn't do well. I still think it holds up.
It's one of those movies, I'm not going to lie, when we first saw it, I was like, okay, it's all right. It's not great. The more I watch it, though, the more
the funnier it is.
And that, I will stand by, is still one of the most pissed off trailers I've ever seen in my life, because it spoils what would have been a fantastic joke in that movie.
The DeLorean. Save it for the episode. I got you. Don't worry. We're going to do it. Don't worry.
Sure. I mean, it'd be a year before we ever do it, but
at least we really committed to our whole romantic comedy thing.
So the one that was like,
Tom Brady's in this movie.
Tom Brady's
semen is in this movie.
No, not even like pretty. It's just friction. But anyway.
And it's golden year.
So.
Spiral.
Spiral. This movie's so quotable. I think this movie's actually more quotable than the first movie. But anyway.
It's up there.
So the movie starts off, and it starts off with the marriage of Ted and Tammy.
Lynn.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's not just Tammy.
Is it any of one of those names with the Lynn?
Oh, I got you now, you son of a bitch.
So they're getting married, and it cuts over to John. He's, you know, he's sitting there all depressed because apparently, Lori left him 6 months prior. So like they stayed married for about a year, maybe two. So it didn't work out. They never say why. They never really address it.
They actually don't. I thought they were. See, I really was expecting there was going to be a lot of like jokes about it because, you know, Mila Kunis, you know, Meg, you got a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
They really didn't do anything. It wasn't like that. When they fired Megan Fox from Transformers and they had to get that dig in there,
yeah,
in Transformers 3 about her, they didn't do any of that with this. So it's kind of surprising.
Oh, so if memory serves correct, I think it was a scheduling issue with Mila Kunis.
Is that what?
Maybe.
Okay.
Who knows? I don't know.
You don't know, do you?
I don't. I just guessed, and I really thought it sounded good. So
possible.
It's totally possible. Like, and again, or maybe they just didn't know what to write her character as. Like, she was already the nagging girlfriend. Do we need the nagging wife who came to her senses at the end? Like. Well, that's what she...
It would have been a good redemption story for her.
You're a good redemption story. Wow. And suddenly Ronnie got divorced. But anyway, this case is a story of how Ronnie got divorced. But anyway, so the whole point of the movie is Ted discovers that he's actually not considered a person because they want to have a baby. And I'm not going to lie, the scene in the sperm bank is one of the funniest things in existence. Like, I'm blinking it in. There are two scenes in this movie that I will die laughing no matter what. That and
the Jurassic Park.
No. Can I use your computer really quick? And he goes, what the? And it's, there's so much porn. But what are you doing looking through my private stuff? Private stuff, Johnny, it's wide open. Look at the organization here. And of course, in typical Family Guy fashion, they go outside breaking with a hammer.
Yeah.
No, they can still put the pieces together. We got to bury it in the harbor. And then it comes to them like scuba diving. And like the fact that Seth MacFarlane's like, guys, I got an idea. We're going to cut and we're going to spend like $10,000 to rent a boat, to rent scuba gear, and do an underwater shot for a 4 second bit. And somebody at that table was like, this is genius.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, guy. But then, like, the movie cuts to basically Donnie is now working at Hasbro.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's determined that Ted is property, it's further determined that he's not treated as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how they actually try and go to court the first time and they lose. They don't win.
No, they don't.
So, and Amanda Seyfried is the new love interest. She's in the movie.
And just like Mila Kunis.
But they try to do a little more comedy with her than they really did with Marla.
Yeah.
You know, the Gollum thing, which was I was like, damn, that's harsh.
Who's Superman?
F. Scott's the F. Scott Fitzgerald thing, I found out.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you saying F. Scott Fitzgerald? That's his name. What did he do to you?
What did Scott Fitzgerald do to you? But I also like the throwing apples at people who are jogging.
Yeah.
That's what you get for being healthy. Apparently, they showed the start of that in the Ted show. No, that's not the color of that. So they decide to go on a cross-country road trip. And of course, Ted has to do the famous piano riff while he's driving. No, what is it? The mess arounds?
Yeah.
Do a little mess around. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about it. And so anywho is apparently producer Melanie is determined that anywho is the boomerang word to redirect us back to attention. Or it's when you guys start to annoy me and I say it. So anywho, they do their little cross-country trip. They end up at a barn. Ted destroys the car and they're going to wait for a tow to get it out of the roof of the barn. Logistics aside, it's just a fun way to segue into a weird guitar sequence with all the animals. I always laugh at when he's got the shotgun. It's like, yo, be careful with that. Oh, don't worry. I don't even think it's loaded. It goes off. He goes flying. And we, of course, we have the Jurassic Park thing. And
marijuana.
Yep.
That was a good one. They played the John Williams story. I was like, okay.
Yes. So it ends, though. At the end, they make it to New York City for Comic-Con, of all things.
Yeah. Because,
you know, John and Ted have a big blowout after meeting Morgan Freeman. Because, you know, I do like the runny bit with the hard candies. Are those candies just for anybody to take? Oh, those aren't supposed to be out. the lawyer does it, and Morgan Freeman does it. So Ted gets separated. He manages to get into Comic-Con and gets kidnapped by Donnie wearing one of the best Ninja Turtle suits of all time.
Yeah, dude.
So, and then, of course, like the CEO of Hasbro is like involved with it. And Ted sacrifices his life almost. Or no, John sacrifices his life to save Ted. Yeah. And he gets hit by the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
That's how I want to go.
Wait, that was a noise faking it.
Yeah. I do love the scene, though, when they're driving and she tells the stormtroopers to get out of the way, or like, and she makes like a Star Trek reference, and everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And even them in the car, like, hey, no, that's Star Wars, that's Star Trek. Like, you can't do that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And like the Darth Vader guy's like trying to, and it's like, no, it's not worth it. See, if you're going to put Seth MacFarlane, like a Seth MacFarlane movie anywhere, putting it at Comic-Con is one of the most genius things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it is hilarious.
No, I agree with that.
But yes, we do get the ending where...
Was that actually done at Comic-Con, or was that probably like just a set? You think that was actually done at a...
I wouldn't be surprised if some of the footage was at Comic-Con, but...
Back in 2014, 2015, I mean, I don't remember if there was any rumblings, because I don't know if we went to that that year. They do.
There's a cameo of during Comic-Con, during the big brawl, there are a couple of cameos. One is a guy dressed as Goku going Super Saiyan, which is hilarious. And then there's a Peter Griffin and Giant Chicken actually fighting. So we get to the end of the movie and John, like, quote unquote, sacrifices himself and he pretends to be dead. And Ted's like crying. The best is the doctor. Like, he's like, hey, doc, they totally fell for it. Come on in. Yeah, thank you. We're in a fun hospital. That's what you're getting me back for when I pretended I was, you know, dumb or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, John and Amanda Seyfried get together because I don't remember her name. Oh, it's Sam Jackson.
That's it.
It's Sam L. Jackson.
Sam L. Jackson.
Yeah. You ever seen any movie?
Oh,
it's a black guy. Sometimes it's not wrong. So they get together and Tammy Lynn, so sorry. This guy and Ted get together. They get married and they have their baby.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad we have not gotten a Ted 3.
I agree.
I think the prequel is the good
one. I think the TV show is it.
Yeah,
me neither. I hear it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, it's on a streamer, so they can get away with anything.
Oh, yeah.
I hear they do not hold back.
They don't hold back in this movie.
No.
One of the most Seth MacFarlane things was the whole scene with the comedy club.
Oh, Seth and John's at
the first one.
It was an event.
9/11. They do that in Family Guy. I remember when that happened in the movie, and I'm just like, really? That's a Family Guy thing.
It was still pretty funny.
It was funny. Yeah.
I don't think Sean thought it was funny.
Especially when he's like, oh, give me a place. And they, I forget what they said or whatever. And the community is like,
you people are all
sorry. I heard Starbucks.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Nobody said Starbucks.
Then name someone at Starbucks.
No,
Bill Cosby.
You people are monsters. Well, we're giving you the tools now. Just make some comedy. Yeah, I will say, I might want to rescind my 4.5 Ted and reevaluate my Star Trek picks. Because I honestly think Ted 2 is the better movie.
Really?
I think it's funnier.
See, I think Ted is the better movie. This movie is probably slightly funnier.
You're slightly funnier.
Thank you.
A compliment than Ted 1, a perfect spiral.
See, I don't know. Just I'm not I still think the first one is the better watch for me, at least. I don't know.
But they're both
very good.
They're both
for me.
Well, I'm gonna give Ted 2 a 4.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to sit down and watch both of them and really decide who's the 4.5 and who's the 4.
I was gonna give Ted 2 a 3.5.
Oh, you're going low. Much low.
I'm gonna put them right at the same 4. I'm gonna give both movies are a 4 to me. They're again, like I said. Ted is a better movie, but Ted 2 is funnier, so it's like very even keel when it comes to everything.
All right, then. Cop-out. We would love to hear what you guys have to say about what? Jesus. Anybody who's
not Jesus either.
Oh, wow. This is happening. We'd love to hear from you guys in the comments of whatever medium you're watching this in, whether it's Podbean or YouTube, but sound off in the comments. Which movie is better, Ted 1 or Ted 2? And like, comment, and subscribe, please.
It's not Ted 1, it's just Ted.
I don't want them to get confused with the TV show of the same name.
Best TV, Ted.
No, it's just Ted.
Oh,
it's a Ted show. No, it really is just called Ted.
Yeah, no. He knows. He's a terrible. Yeah, you people are monsters.
No, the show's name is It's Just Called Ted.
It's Just Called Ted.
Oh, God, I hate you both. But that's going to wrap us up for today. Thank you guys for joining us. If you guys want more of our content, super easy. You can go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can find more of our shows there. You can find our other shows like Multiverse Fancast, MF Uncensored, and MF Uncensored. It's on there. You're just in that order, guys. All right. And of course, if you want to find us on all the social media, we're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you will find some of our
stuff. On LinkedIn?
No, I actually probably shouldn't do something with that. Yeah, I need to fix the website too. But anyway, so that is going to wrap us up for today, mostly because I'm so stressed. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
I'm Rowney.
And we'll see you guys next time.
See you.